Hi everyone, it's Liam again and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show, exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you're listening to this, that means you're supporting the main show, which means I want to start with a big thank you. The main show will always be free, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really, really help us out. In Exploring the NQS, I look at one element of the National Quality Standard, one at a time, until we're done with all 40. My background is as an early childhood educator and teacher, centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based in Canberra. Now, last week I promised we were going to get started with Quality Area 2, but I've actually decided to do a bit of a different episode this week. We've just wrapped up Quality Area 1, so I thought I might spend 15 minutes just taking an overall look at Quality Area 1, which is Educational Program and Practice. This is an opportunity, I think, to think about how all the standards and elements of Quality Area 1 work together and how you can think about approaching quality improvement in this area as a whole. I'm giving myself the challenge to stick to 15 minutes, so we'll have to see how we go. We'll do a couple of different sections this time, so I want to start with the big picture. All right, so the big picture for educational program practice and for me is that this is fundamentally about children's learning and development. It's particularly about how we use the early years learning framework to support children's learning and development. Really going back to the implementation of the National Quality Framework and the National Quality Standard back in 2012, this was probably one of the most significant changes. It was really bringing together different state and territory approaches to children's learning. In some states and territories, it really was just childcare. There wasn't a big focus on children's learning, you know, particularly in the ACT where I'm based. That was definitely the case, and I know it was up and down in other states and territories. So this was about really saying this isn't childcare. This is about children's learning. We know that children's learning in the first 5 years is some of the most important time for them to be doing this. So this is about saying we value children's learning. We value the work of educators. So that's always the starting point for me. I know there are frustrations with Quality Area 1, with documentation, with programming and planning, but for me, I always want to bring it back to this is a positive for children, and we just need to work through it and figure it out. So in providing an overview of Quality Area 1, I sort of wanted to look at the three standards of Quality Area 1 and really, really break them down. So let's start with program. And that for me is about deciding what to do at its most basic level. We know from the early years learning framework that learning that learning is everything that happens from when the doors open to when the doors close. We don't have set times where particular learning is taking place. We don't stop at meal times, and learning doesn't take place then. You know, it happens all during those times. Deciding what we do is about all the little decisions we make, big and small, about how we set up our environments, how we plan the day, how we talk to families, all those kind of things. That's about deciding what we do, and that's what the program is, those decisions about how we're going to support children to learn. The next standard is then practice, and that's kind of doing what we do. So we decide what we do, and then we do it, and that's really what the practice is. How do we do that? How do we implement the program? What are we doing in classrooms all day? What are the expectations of educators is really the key question there. What are we asking of educators? Are educators supported to make particular decisions, or is everyone kind of a bit out on their own, not sure what's going on? What are we actually doing from, again, when the centre doors open in the morning to when the center doors close in the evening? That's the practice. That's actually doing what we're there to do. So obviously, you know, that to me is a hugely important one, because that's where we're supporting educators to succeed so that children can succeed. And then assessment and planning, to me, is about checking what we do. So we decide what we do with the program, we do it with the practice, and then the assessment and planning is kind of checking what we do. And that to me is probably one of the biggest challenges for Quality Area 1. When I talk to people, that's where people that's where we're looking at things like critical reflection, documentation. I think that's probably, you know, the standard is one of the biggest challenges in the National Quality Standard. But again, I would take a step back and say, you know, this standard is really about valuing educators and their professionalism, and saying that we can do this, and it's important that we demonstrate there's a reason we do what we do, and that we check what we do. Where we're courageous and strong enough to go, you know, we're not just going to assume we're doing the right thing. We're going to open ourselves up to, you know, checking and reflecting and talking with our colleagues and actually knowing what we do. Because at the end of the day, that's what children deserve. Yes, it's tough on us, and yes, we need better conditions. We need you know, more time and resources to do that. But we need to remember that fundamentally this is about what children can expect. And children can expect that we take a step back and think about what we're doing. Now, it's important to remember that, you know, particularly in Standard 3, the planning cycle is a big part of what we do. But, you know, one of the most interesting things about Quality Area 1 is that planning cycle is actually embedded in that entire quality area. So let's look about what we've talked about. The program is deciding what to do. The practice is doing it. And assessment and planning is then checking what we do, which then feeds back into deciding what we do and then doing it. So that planning cycle is really embedded actually in that entire approach to Quality Area 1. That's a great way to think about it. So if you start from those points, that's the biggest overview I can take before you go in and sort of dig into the individual things. All right. So the next section I want to do was kind of just do three things to focus on. There's a huge amount of work we need to do. If you've been listening to this series, element by element, you'll see I have lots of different suggestions to do. So if you've now listened to 9 elements, I've probably given you about 30 things to do, which I apologize. But looking at Quality Area 1, you know, in an overview, three things that I think will put you on a starting point to succeed. Again, I always want to be really clear that, you know, this is not just about me taking my advice and saying if you do what Liam says, you'll succeed, you won't. You know, it has to come from your community of children, families, and educators. But three starting points or three things to focus on for me that I think, you know, do set you up for success. One is decide on an approach and stick to it. I think this is one of the big challenges in the sector because I think we have an instinct to be quite democratic in what we do, and we maybe want to let everyone have a different approach and do individual things, and leaders occasionally are worried about saying, well, I've decided this is the way to do it and it just has to be this way. I get those challenges, but if we're going to succeed in Quality Area 1, we just have to push through those barriers. This is, you know, probably the key bit of advice for particularly this quality area, but in many cases, a lot of the other quality areas as well. You know, decide on an approach, and how you get to that point will be different for each service. You know, if you are an ultra democratic center, you know, you might go through a 3-6 month process of developing an approach that everyone's okay with. But in most cases, you know, it'll be informed by the qualifications and experience of the leader and maybe the leadership team of the service, the team leader, the educational leader, if you have someone in that role who's not the center director themselves. Decide on an approach that works and then just stick to it. Again, easy to say, harder to do, but decide on that approach and then just support each other to do it. And the second bit of advice to focus is kind of linked to that, which is focus on quality, not quantity. Where people fall apart is they're kind of drowning under the weight of things they have to do. Decide on that approach, but within that approach, make sure there's an emphasis on quality, not quantity. Again, a bit of a cliche, and everyone says it's a Quality Area 1, but unfortunately, it's because it's true, and you just have to find a way to do it. And then, you know, the third bit of advice I would have is then really, and this again will link with the other two, is don't stray beyond the early years learning framework unless, you know, you've got an exceeding result in Quality Area 1, you're totally happy with what you're doing, everyone's lovely and comfortable. Don't go beyond the early years learning framework. And by that, I mean, there are lots of different approaches and inspirations you can take. There's Reggio Emilia, there's Montessori approaches. I'm not dismissing those approaches, but they're not referred to anywhere in the National Quality Framework. They're not referred to in the Early Years Learning Framework. You can take inspiration and guidance from different theorists and perspectives, but really start with the Early Years Learning Framework. That's the curriculum document for Australia. It was developed by some very, very, very smart people who knew what they were doing and knew what they were thinking about, and they've included in there all the things we need to think about for children's learning. Really start with the Early Years Learning Framework. Obviously, the outcomes are those kind of centerpiece, but the principles, the practices as well. And you'll find that if you use the Early Years Learning Framework, if you focus on supporting children to move towards those learning outcomes, and they can be the foundation of your approach to documentation and planning, you will be doing a lot less because you won't be pulling on different things that you want to try and meet in particular ways. You're just sort of saying, what will help me help children move towards the learning outcome? And the other thing is, you know, really having that lens of not documenting something unless it's going to help you do your job. This is one of the big pieces of advice I give, particularly just around that specific idea of documentation. If you're writing something down that's not going to help you as an educator do your job, do not bother. If you're only writing it down because you think it'll make a family happy or because, you know, you think you kind of have to check a box, don't do it. It's a waste of your time. Write it down if it will help you plan for children's learning. So, you know, those three things, decide on an approach, stick to it, focus on quality, not quantity, and don't stray beyond the EYLF unless you're really happy with where you are on those. And I think those, you know, three things, again, easier said than done, will give you a bit of a starting point for thinking about that. All right, the kind of last thing I wanted to talk about is a bit of a new thing for the sector. So when the National Quality Standard was updated in 2018, one of the new things they introduced or sort of revised was the exceeding theme. So they gave us a bit more guidance for how centres can and strive to meet exceeding in particularly quality areas. So what I thought I might do in these overview episodes is take a look at each of the three exceeding themes and just give my quick thoughts about how I think they could, how you might be able to start thinking about how that can work for quality area one. The first exceeding theme is practice is embedded in service operations. What this is really telling us is that it needs to be seen in all classrooms. All educators should have an understanding of it. And there should be an approach that's kind of across the whole centre. This is what I was talking about, one of the things to focus on, decide on that approach and stick to it across the centre. This really comes down to leadership. There has to be a leadership team in the centre led by that nominated supervisor working with the educational leader to be really driving and pushing this, holding people to account. One of the hardest things in the sector when people are busy and challenged and it's difficult work, but we have to hold people to account. The only way something's embedded is if we push people to meet those requirements. And it's a bit of a workforce thing, and I talk with teams about this in terms of culture. You have to work really hard in that first 3, 6, 9, even 12 months to really get that approach, but then once you've done that, things become so much easier. And what particularly happens is as people leave and new people come on board, which always going to happen, new people are coming on board into a culture where that's the expectation. It's so much harder when you have new people coming on board and there isn't a single approach to what we're doing, and educators going, well, that person's doing that thing and do I have to do blah, 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 blah. If people are coming into a team culture where people are already doing particular things, it's so much easier to get that right. So embedding in service operations is really about leadership. People going, this is the way we have to do it, and we're going to make sure it's happening, holding people to account. The second exceeding theme is practice is informed by critical reflection. This is particularly interesting for quality area one because there's an element called critical reflection. So you can go back and maybe listen to element 1.3.2 from a couple of weeks ago. In really broad summary, this is about just getting started, doing it regularly. It will always be awkward and difficult the first couple of times, but you can make critical reflection a part of your culture by just doing it. It kind of sounds crazy, but the more you do it, the more comfortable you become. Find ways that individual educators are comfortable to do it, but make it an expectation. The other important things is, demonstrate it. The leaders of the centre have to be doing this as well and doing it publicly and sharing it with people so they see it's okay, and educators see it's okay to acknowledge where, we want to think differently about particular things. In terms of getting that exceeding rating, it's also about finding ways to demonstrate how that's happening in the service, making that visible. Now, what that doesn't mean is you have to document every single piece of critical reflection you ever do. And I think that's where sometimes people go a bit crazy because they think that's what they have to do. It's not. But you just have to demonstrate the approach. So demonstrate that you have regular team meetings where critical reflection is a component. Demonstrate in your documentation that you've thought about particular things. But this is about demonstrating the process, not every single piece of critical reflection you've ever done. And then the last exceeding theme is practice is shaped by meaningful engagement with families and or the community. Again, we had that information for families element last week, element 1.3.3, which sort of touches on this a bit. But we've talked about this in previous elements as well. For me, this is about, talking with families about how and why you do what you do. It's about getting on the front foot with families and saying, we program and we document and we explore children's learning in this way, and here's why. Always invite feedback, but we do need to remember that we are the experts in this space. We are qualified educators. Parents and families are the child's first and most important educators. But in terms of the work we do at the service, we're in partnership with the families. We're not passive passengers. We don't just do what families say. We invite feedback. We include it. We explore it. But we decide what we want to do and we go for it. In terms of, thinking about the community, particularly thinking about in the Australian context, the local Indigenous language group that might be in your area, exploring, the history of that area, and we can include that in the way we approach particular things is really important. But it might just be, thinking about how that engagement with families will work in different contexts. It'll be really different in the middle of a major city than in a regional, rural, remote area. Another key way to do this is talking with families about the early years learning framework. What are the outcomes? What are the principles, practices? Doing some information nights, curriculum nights where you talk around that kind of stuff. That's a great way to get meaningful engagement with families and all the community, and taking on board their feedback, but also leading that process as well. All right, that's it for our first overview episode. I hope that was helpful. We will now be starting with Quality Area 2 next week, I promise. What I thought I might wrap up these overview episodes with is just a bit of further reading as well. One is the Guide to the National Quality Standard. It is the most underutilized resource in the sector. I wish more people knew about it. Check that out. Look at Quality Area 1, particularly if you're a nominated supervisor or educational leader. Just have it with you at all times. Look at the particular elements. Look at the standards. Look at the quality area. The other thing for this particular quality area is the National Education Leader, who at the time of recording is Rhonda Livingston, has a page on the CEQA website. Which has fantastic advice for approaching Quality Area 1. And it's great because there are no myths in it. And in fact, she spends some time debunking myths. So get off the Facebook groups, get off, you know, all those online forums which make up a whole bunch of crazy stuff, and get it directly from the source. I can do no better advice than that. There are a range of, you know, interesting textbooks out there. But, you know, from an absolute starting point, go to a CEQA, use the Guide to the National Quality Standard, use the National Education Leaders webpage, which has some really great resources. But that's it for me for this week. So until I'm back looking at Quality Area 2, which I'm really excited about, it's goodbye from me.